Okay, I'll go ahead and go through the instructions one more time and then we'll get started. Again, my name is Brian. My email address is editor@marketingexperiments.com. If you have any questions or comments or problems during the conference, I'll be monitoring that throughout the hour. The URL for the notes for today's conference is mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. And we will ask you to refresh that page several times throughout the hour as we add some data and other notes to that page. Some key commands that you might find useful, *4 will increase the volume on your line if you're having any trouble hearing. *6 will mute and unmute your line. Also, we will be staying in lecture mode for most of today's conference, but we will open it up for questions several times. So if you do have questions, you may want to write them down so you can remember it for the opportunities that you'll have to ask them. We do expect a very full conference today, so that's why we're keeping it in lecture mode for most of the time. Some upcoming research that we have planned. 2 weeks from today, we will be having a clinic on subscriber retention. So if you're interested in participating in that clinic, that's 2 weeks from today at the same time. You can email me at editor@marketingexperiments.com, and I will get a spot reserved for you. You can read a brief biography of Dr. Flint McLaughlin at the bottom of your notes. And at this time, I would like to introduce Dr. McLaughlin, who will be today's primary presenter.
Okay, the topic today is how to generate a burst of website traffic with pay-per-click. And essentially, we're going to show you how we created a website from scratch. And in a 90-day period, drove significant traffic with a combination of search activities. It's useful not only for understanding how to use pay-per-click, but it's really quite useful in just understanding how you could create a new product and go to a significant launch in a short period of time. But really, whether you're launching a new site or you simply need to generate a large number of new visitors to an existing site, we have found the best way to do this in certain cases is with pay-per-click traffic. However, if you don't know what you're doing with pay-per-click, or even if you're sophisticated but not unsure or not certain of some of the newest things that we've discovered in some of this research, certain things can happen that you don't want to have. In your efforts to dramatically grow the number of visitors to your site, you can find yourself overpaying on your keyword list. And number two, if you're paying too much for keywords, your ROI drops and you fail to become profitable. There's this number we've been measuring, but it seems like pay-per-click can start out profitable, but as you start to scale up, no matter how you do it, in most cases, the campaign begins to lose its profitability and ROI tanks. And sometimes it can be really quite sudden, and you can lose a significant amount of money before you realize it. Some companies will view pay-per-click advertising as an expense, and not to see an immediate positive ROI, particularly during the early weeks of the campaign. And sometimes, and particularly if the average cost or value of a customer is a number that's calculated over a prolonged period of time, they may lose money initially, but know they'll regain it if retention holds over the long haul. This does not really need to be the case. What we're going to actually show you in this brief is a case history. It's a significant research project that we engaged in. And essentially, it's more or less how we drove 1,644,732 visitors to a new site in a 90-day period, and how we made money from the very first day to the very last day in terms of ROI profitability. And that's the key, because any of us can buy lots of pay-per-click traffic if it's available. Key is to drive, just ask yourself in your own site, what if you could drive 1.7 million unique visitors there in the next 30 to 90 days? And what if you could do it without spending too much on your bids? And what if you could do it and remain profitable? What impact would that have on your overall site objectives? We're going to kind of share with you the plan that we used in this process in hopes that it will help you to be more effective in your own. In our testing, we utilized a recently launched site that provides useful information on a subscription basis, paid subscription basis, by the way. Traffic to the site without pay-per-click was respectable, but not satisfactory. In the 3 months of testing, natural traffic, natural search, amounted to 23,000. Brian, I'll let you refresh the first table.
Okay, it's in there now. Everyone will refresh.
If you'll refresh your notes, you'll see this table. 23,488 unique visitors. Now, that's the amount of traffic we were able to generate to a new site utilizing natural search optimization in its first 90 days. We don't speak a lot about it in this report, but our team actually did some remarkable things, and they achieved nearly a dozen top 10 listings in MSN in the first 30 days. Google, it takes longer. And because of the work they did, the site attracted 23,000 unique visitors. Now, that's a small number, but even if it's small, it dilutes your cost per click, and it's a significant number, something you can't really afford to overlook when you're planning for a new site. By the way, the number will grow and grow and grow as the site continues to be indexed and as optimization efforts pay off from the early work. If you'll look at the next table in your notes, it helps you see the amount of traffic that was driven to the site from other sources, such as website links and email and banner ads. What you need to understand is that in 3 months of testing, traffic from non-search sources, that's website links and email, amounted to 43,305 unique visits. Now, the key point is, really, without pay-per-click traffic, we would have only generated 66,793 visitors to our new test site. With pay-per-click traffic, we were able to generate closer to 1.7 million visitors. Those of you that are veterans on the net know what that represents in terms of the significant power shift that has occurred on the internet. In the old days, we were fighting to get rankings on sites like Excite, which is no longer here. And there were a dozen natural search engines you needed to optimize for. Along came a little engine called GoTo that today is called Overture. Everything changed. Came Google. So if you look at the results more closely, we'll drop some new data in. You should refresh your notes, and there should be a third table. Now, what you're going to see in the third table is not only the total number of visits, but the actual average cost per click and the total number of clicks. I can't stress to you how much strategy and work it went in order to average the cost per click at numbers as low as 0.09. If you're in an industry where your cost per click and some of your search terms are extremely expensive, you might be looking at that and saying, well, I mean, that's relevant only if you're in an industry where the keywords aren't competitive. However, I can't tell you this site's exact nature because I'm telling you too much specific information about an existing business, but I will tell you this. They have very competitive price terms right now on the market and in the marketplace, and very expensive cost per click as an average. So with that in mind, there's something we did, kind of a way to get that traffic cost so low. We'll talk about it before we're done here. In fact, it's interesting if you'll note that the click price or the amount we spent went up in July, but in addition, we were able to optimize the campaign to create an additional 128,817 visits in July versus May. That's a 23% increase in the third month, which is when you should be going down, not up, without increasing the average cost per click. Now, the strategy for this site was to capture as much of the market share as possible while remaining profitable. It was quite aggressive. It's certainly not difficult to spend a lot of money on pay-per-click traffic, but to do so while remaining with a positive ROI can be a daunting task. And in fact, it seems to be inverted. The more you spend, the more you grow in terms of increasing the pay-per-click traffic, even sometimes when you think you're doing it right. As you look back, you see that costs go up. And for some reason, what I've discovered is that in general, conversion goes down. And when conversion goes down, the whole campaign suffers, ROI suffers. There's this optimum level in pay-per-click. But our team, and this was a project headed up by Aaron Rosenthal, who's brilliant at pay-per-click, and also, no doubt, Jeremy Brookins, one of our other researchers, was very involved and is our leading pay-per-click authority right now here at MEC. Jeremy's on the line and will be available for questions and as we open up questions later. Let me encourage you to write down some of your questions so that we can discuss them coming up. Let me also point out that Aaron is on a much-needed vacation and will be back tomorrow. So let's move on. There's a number of ways to increase the profitability of the pay-per-click campaign, and some of these you know. Let me just mention some of the top five and then refer you to help and then move on to the exact 90-day procedure that we took and utilized. Number one, buy more traffic that converts at a defined minimum rate. This minimum rate will be dependent on your average order size, your profit margin, and certain factors unique to your business. We've created a tool to help you calculate that, which you can download with the report I'm going to recommend here in just a moment for you. Number two, eliminate unprofitable keywords that drain your marketing budget. Number three, reduce bids on keywords with a negative return on investment. Number four, increase the conversion rate of pay-per-click traffic once it's reached your site. Number four is really essential. One of the first things we do when we're trying to improve a campaign is leave the campaign alone and we improve the landing page. You can improve conversion, then you've changed all the metrics in terms of pay-per-click. And also bear in mind that conversion goes up naturally during the peak times in your season or when there's positive press or anything that might somehow impact the demand in the marketplace. So bear that in mind because you can do an ROI calculation, feel like you're being profitable, market conditions change, and you're going by your traffic, not by your actual ROI on the campaign, and it looks profitable because your bid price hasn't gone up. But it turns out it is not profitable. Number five, increase the order size of converting traffic. Number five is the least, I'd say it's the most overlooked way to make a pay-per-click campaign work. If you can increase the average order, and often that is, there's a number of ways you can do that. If you can increase the average order size, you can change all the metrics. Now, I'm not getting to the what I would say is the interesting stuff yet, but what I'm talking about many of you probably know, so hang in there as I get into the plan. But let me just touch on this fifth area a little bit more. I have seen over and over again when I looked at a campaign that was marginally profitable or when competitive pressure came in that made it difficult for you to maintain a good position because competitors were starting to pay more. The first thing you do is you go back and work real hard at the campaign. And that's fine, and you should do that. But in actuality, if you can use an incentive such as a free shipping offer for orders over a certain price, and if you do the math, you should see our report on free shipping and how to use it properly. It's on the site. It's not in this report. I don't have its number, but it is a report on how to structure a free shipping offer. If you structure it real smart with a spreadsheet, you can dramatically improve your average cost per order. Another thing is a high margin with item, that is an item that you have a lot of profit on but has a much higher perceived value than its actual cost, and you use that as an incentive that you give to every person, every order over X dollars that's included. It's a free gift. That can drive up average sales. From a subscription standpoint, you can drive up sales yet another way, and that is by changing the way you structure your offering. If it's a monthly offering and you incentivize, and you know that, say, retention is 3 months, and you incentivize a 6-month purchase properly, they'll make, many people will buy it the 6 month in advance as opposed to the monthly option. And you'll see average value of a customer increase, not to mention the fact that the money you get paid in advance is far more useful to you than the money you get paid over 6 months. So that for multiple reasons, changing and really thinking and testing about what your price discount is for a 12-month or a 6-month subscription, thinking about that number can dramatically improve the average order size. And so I would suggest that many of us need to think and focus on how we can increase that order size and then how we can increase our conversion rate on the specific landing pages. Again, let me say something that may be basic for some of you, but what we do with a campaign is we study the most significant, the most effective search terms in the pay-per-click campaign, and those are the terms that we create a customized landing page for, and we use a headline on the landing page that includes the search term that they utilize when they found your ad in Google or Overture. Many of us throw up a single landing page for pay-per-click, but you can increase conversion yet again by focusing on those terms that are your highly profitable, most searched for terms in your pay-per-click campaigns. Specificity is the key to conversion. Anticipate what is in the mind of the person when they click and give them precisely that, exactly what they're looking for, and you'll find conversion goes up. Now, all of that is extemporaneous to my report, but it may be of some use to you as you're thinking about increasing your profitability. If you'd like to get more on this topic, there's a link in your notes right now, and it is a link number one, and it literally lays out for you a step-by-step way to examine your campaign for areas where it might not be profitable and to improve its profitability. So you may want to review that report, which you can get at no charge from our site. And it also has, I believe, a spreadsheet tool that will help you think about your campaigns. So having said all of that, I come down to really what is the culmination of the research, and that is, what did we learn? What did we do in this campaign that made it work? And what can you learn from this that will help you to do the same? You may be in the position now where you either have a site and you'd like to see a significant traffic blast, we'll tell you what we did here, or you may have a site and you may decide that, you know, if I created a variation of this site and focused on one segment of my market, then I could launch a completely fresh pay-per-click and search campaign for that individual new website and generate more revenue. If you're thinking that, these steps will help you. May I point out for you that in many cases, the best way to grow your site is to divide it. Now, you don't see a lot of this in any of the marketing advisory type materials and websites and books and so on, but what I've discovered is that you can flip a competitive strategy and use it against yourself and often get significant success. One of the best ways to take a competitor's position from him, if he's in the first or second position in the market and you just find him unassailable, is to fragment his market. That's to say that if you wanted to launch a CD site right now on the internet and it was going to sell CDs in general, you would have a very anemic value proposition and a lot of trouble trying to make that successful. And there might be some people in the marketplace who completely dominate that, such as Amazon. So how do you beat Amazon? Or take the book market. How could you ever beat Amazon in the book market? The answer is fragment their market. Find some dominant niches that they're serving in a general way and you serve them in a specific way. Have the largest internet site for folk music and all the latest CDs there, and focus on a community of people who care passionately about folk music, and you can beat Amazon in that specific niche. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, this is about Amazon. I'm saying that the power of the internet is not simply to aggregate large markets, but rather to specify, divide, and serve them in a unique way. Now, if that's true in terms of finding competitive advantage, and by the way, if you are existing on the internet without a value proposition, and that is the unique reason, your value proposition is the unique reason why I should buy from you instead of anyone else on the internet. If you can't answer that question, you probably are just thriving on pockets of ignorance and your business is in trouble when the marketplace heats up. You may be early or new, and so you've gotten some traction, but as soon as competitive realities strike, you have nothing with which to distinguish yourself. If you come back to that question and say, well, it's our service, you're probably mistaken again. In most businesses, service is just a threshold expectation. Every customer expects you to deliver good service. They don't buy from you because of that good service. In fact, they don't know that that service is good until after they've bought. So you are now in a philosophic conundrum. The exception to that rule is when you can use a five-star biz rate or Yahoo five-star rating to kind of encourage them to purchase from you, and that does have an impact. But in general, that won't give you competitive advantage unless you're the only person with that five-star rating, and you're likely not. So many of us would do better in the internet if we stopped and asked ourselves what business we're really in and why we're in it. And the problem with the pay-per-click market is it is a reality index. It will smash you in the face with the truth about your business. You can buy a million visits, they can come to your site, and they can leave without purchasing because you are not offering a genuine value proposition. So, having said that, if you're on the phone and you're wondering what to do because perhaps you don't feel all that comfortable about your offering, I would suggest for you that do what a competitor might do, and that is fragment a market. And if you are a leader right now, doing well, more so, fragment your site. Take your site and break out a subgroup of your site that has very specific community opportunity and very specific needs, and build a separate website for that. Focus on this 90-day plan that we're talking about just now. Drive a million unique visits to it and build your own enterprise. And if you're doing it, don't extend your brand from the one site to the other site necessarily simply because it seems right to put it all together under the one great empire. 90% of the time we extend our brand to other sites more for the sake of our own ego than for the sake of good strategy. The reality is, if you take one brand and try to make it 12 different things, it means nothing. I'd rather own 12 independent brands that are respected in each niche than one super brand that means very little to anyone. And by the way, if you're on the internet, you read all the books about branding, forget most of them, because most of those big branding issues apply to companies that have spent $200 million to build a brand, and you don't have that kind of budget. Building brand on the internet is altogether different. Principles are the same. There's significant differences in how you do it. So then, with that in mind, let's look at a 90-day plan. Step number one, focus. This is exactly how my team wrote it in their recommendations. Focus, dot focus, dot focus. Focus your efforts on one major search engine to start with. Google AdWords probably offers the greatest potential for most business, followed by Overture. You should not completely neglect the smaller pay-per-click engines, but launching and optimizing a pay-per-click campaign is very time-consuming, and you should focus your efforts on those markets which will produce the most fruit. I normally start with Google, learn all my lessons because I have a good test environment there, which is what it really is. Get the test data back, export that to Overture. Once I've optimized Overture, I lift my head up and say, now, what are the small per-click engines, pay-per-click engines, with this type of offering work in? And you have to test them. Because some of the smaller engines work very well for certain niches and very poorly in others. Focus not only on one engine, but focus your approach. Decide what you're selling and what makes it stand out from your competitors' offers. Focus on your unique value proposition. For example, if your price is lower than your competitors, experiment with ads that contain actual pricing. Focus on the most, by the way, that's a great way to improve your ROI on certain types of offerings. They already come knowing what the cost is, and so they are much more likely to purchase, which is why the comparison engines have, in general, a higher conversion rate for you on your site than, say, Google or Overture, because it's more qualified traffic. They've looked at other offers. They see yours. They see the key decision points before they ever click through to your site. Also, focus on the most relevant keywords. These terms will simply convert better than words or phrases that are not as appropriate. Focus on both pay-per-click and natural search. But if you're trying to generate the greatest amount of traffic with the least effort, pay-per-click will create more immediate results. But do not neglect building a spider-friendly site and work towards that long-term payoff when natural search is clearly diluting what your overall cost per click is. Number two, reap the benefits of a fresh start. This is important. If you're launching a pay-per-click campaign for a new site, you don't have to correct past mistakes and begin with a well-structured search approach right away. Remember to use well-designed landing pages, optimized ads with very relevant keywords, negative keywords to eliminate less relevant traffic. If you don't know what a negative keyword is, feel free to ask the question later, or feel free to check our other report on pay-per-click. Letter D, smart bids, not round numbers. We've talked about that. A lot of us have learned that. When MEC first started saying this, most people didn't know this. I'm assuming that the market has grown more sophisticated, but I'll just tell you that it's a mistake to bid in round numbers in most cases. A free valuable email newsletter capture. And by the way, it won't work if it's free email. Nobody in the world hardly is looking for a free email newsletter. They're looking for information. If you're trying to capture email addresses on your site by offering a free email newsletter, you're getting probably a very anemic, less than 1% sign-up ratio. They're not trying to get a free newsletter. They're trying to get information. You can put it in an email newsletter. You can put it in a free email newsletter. You can put it in a white paper. You can put it in a six-step autoresponder-based report. But what you must realize is that it is the information that sells, not the idea of a free email newsletter. And I actually see people on their site using those words as primary text to try and get someone to sign up. Dang. Letter F, a well-organized campaign structure is very critical. We'll talk more about that coming up. I'm going to go to point three in just a moment, but I'm going to just open the floor for a few minutes so I don't get too much farther. I've got quite a bit of material to cover in terms of ways to help you, and I'd like to just hold here before I go into point three and open up the floor. Brian, if you'll take it off lecture mode, do we have...
We've actually spent quite a bit of time discussing whether or not to go public or, seek, funding and, all that kind of stuff.
So now that we're off lecture mode, you may have to mute your phone by hitting star 6.
65 countries, we've kind of kicked it around. We haven't.
Brian, you need to put us on lecture mode unless we all want to hear about this company going public.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, there's someone on the phone who's probably put our phone on hold, and they're discussing, sounds like some sensitive information. So we'll give them seconds and we'll come back. Number three, build a list of keywords. Build a list of the keyword themes, phrases, and single words you plan to target. Then build all the surrounding keywords and come in from an angle approach. I say that because so often the way you really get this right is you discover those words that are peripheral but relevant words that are overlooked by many of your competitors. And if you can get enough of those, and if each of these words has enough traffic to justify the human time, the labor element, you can find ways to come in with a much lower bid. When you're trying to build this keyword map, we suggest you do it outside of the constraints of the pay-per-click interface. It's too hard to do it there. Do it in a spreadsheet so you can focus your thoughts and more easily implement the keyword bids over multiple pay-per-click platforms. Mistake to start in the engine. Start off of the engine. Number four, stay organized. The more precise your organization efforts, the better the campaign will perform and the better you will be able to navigate through it when testing and optimizing. It's also much more helpful when you're trying to understand what's working in your campaign and what is not. We have worked with research partners. Many of you know that we forge research partnerships and we work with groups and help them grow, and we get good data in the process, and that's where we learn the information that we're giving you now. And we also do a lot of our own testing, but we also do partnerships with people like smaller groups or groups like the New York Times or Reuters and some people like that. And we have spent countless hours rebuilding pay-per-click advertising campaigns. And this wasted effort becomes necessary when expanding a campaign beyond its original scope, and you have to do it beginning with this unmanageable mess. And as much as possible, we recommend that you plan for expansion and you organize in advance when you do this. Now, number five is that you use smart initial bids. When creating a new Google AdWords campaign, consider bidding higher than you may normally for some important terms. Now listen to me on this, because this is an approach unique to Google and only Google, but it's because it rewards higher click-through rates. And in a perfect world, click-through rate would be solely contingent on the quality of your ad copy. But actually, your click-through rate will be higher if your ads appear higher in the search results. So sometimes it's all right to inflate your bids slightly on the front end. Many people don't know that. And this a key point here is by bidding slightly higher during first launch and then gradually lowering your bids, you can achieve and maintain a better placement at lower cost per click. Currently, our test site, the very one we've talked about in this report, is one of 16 sites bidding on our most popular word. We hold one of the topmost positions, yet we've been paying less than 8.5 cents average cost per click. And that's because of the way we've worked through this. Now, we've tested over 1 million words in Google alone, trying to understand the most effective ways to achieve results there. And there are certain patterns like this that you can take advantage of. Brian, let's open up the lecture mode again, and let's see if some people would like to ask questions. Okay. If you've got a question, now's a good time to fire it at us.
Hi, I have one. This is Susan Haywood.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
My question is, to what extent do the organic results affect the placement on that pay-per-click? For instance, as you get more high placements in the organic space, does that mean that your pay-per-click ads go up? I've kind of seen that, but I wasn't sure if you've seen that too.
I think that you're talking about organic in Google, along with a Google AdWord, aren't you?
Right. I don't do it here, but Google. I've noticed this over the years, is that when you have a high search result in the organic and a lot of people click on it, that your placements, even as people come into your keyword space, tend to stay high.
I think that's true, and I think it's for a couple of reasons. I'd like to measure that in a study. But it's been my experience that it works in the same way that, say, a friend of mine, Craig Calder, who was a vice president of the New York Times, we did research there together. Craig pioneered something called surround sessions in advertising. And essentially, repeated exposure to the same copy, and in his case, it followed someone around the site, always seems to have an impact. And Madison Avenue, you know, even the average commercial is based on a repetition formula. Typically, the variable is 16. That is, you need to see it 16 times. I think it increases credibility and increases the chances that someone will click through. I also think there's something subtle, and it's something I want to measure that is unusual, Susan, but when someone clicks on, when someone will see an ad, the brand will go into their subconscious mind. They'll see a different version of the ad. They'll recognize the second version on the basis of the first version, but not connect the two, and because they recognize that second brand, only because of the subconscious implant of the first, I think they're more likely to click through, because a brand is about recognition, occupying space in someone's mind.
That makes sense.
Well, it's a very smart question,
what have your studies, this is Ike in Los Angeles, what have your studies shown in terms of conversion, which, again, we could spend a lot of money getting them to the site very effectively without them doing anything. What is the key component, in addition to what you've mentioned, I mean, the one that you would tell family members, on how to convert more effectively?
Specificity. What you focus on grows. And in terms of conversion, your conversion rate will grow if the page itself that you're sending people to matches their expectation as closely as possible, which means that a brilliant pay-per-click campaign will have landing pages built around the profiles of the people who are clicking through the engines, and you'll determine their profiles two ways. One, from the search term they came in on, and two, from any behavior that you may be able to pick up once they strike your site. What I want to be able to do is match my offer with that person's need as closely as possible. What we often do is miss this point, and adequacy is the enemy of excellence. And so if we have an adequate conversion rate and something that's working in a profitable ROI campaign, we often leave way more money on the table than we should by building very specific offers to those people. Now, there's a lot of factors that impact conversion, you know, beyond that, you know, not the least of which is the value proposition itself, the fact that when you build your offer, most of us are building short copy offers that are wrong. People don't buy from websites, people buy from people. And a website is a personality, whether you make it one or not, and in most cases, if you don't make it one, it's just a boring personality or an offensive personality. If you get the personality of the site right, it really impacts conversion.
Thank you.
Yes, I. Good question. Someone else?
Paul in St. Louis. I've seen this thing about lowering the bids, you know, starting high and lowering the bids, and I've seen people say, oh, lower it a dime a day. Do you guys have any specifics about the strategy for how long to keep it at the high bids and when to start lowering it and
sure.
At what frequency to lower it?
I haven't benchmarked it. Jeremy, have you benchmarked it? Do you have any thoughts on that? Jeremy Brookins is on my team. I think he's unmuting, but go ahead, Jeremy. Well,
sorry.
He's not unmuted. There you are.
Okay. I got it.
Go
ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah. What we found is a lot of times it's like I said, make smart bids. Start where you think you can afford to be. If you're measuring at the keyword level, I think arbitrary changing, like I'm going to lower it 10 cents a day, is often going to get you in trouble because you're not basing that off of anything real.
There you go.
Just kind of, and so we try to, what we do is we measure the keyword level, and bids are going to go up or down based on the performance of that keyword. And definitely we try and wait a lot longer than 24 hours depending on how much traffic we got coming in, because you need to take a good sample at each level to determine that. You just arbitrary changes are just going to get you in trouble.
Good. Excellent, Jeremy. Good. Does that answer your question?
I was going to ask, what is it considered a good sample, but I guess that really depends on.
If you have more question about it, just email us, and we'll try to give you a more complete answer to make sure that, you know, if you've got like a specific keyword or scenario, send it over, and I'll ask Jeremy to drop you a note and try to help you with it. Okay.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Anyone else before I go back to the rest of this report?
Is there anywhere to view online the report as you talk through it?
Yeah, the report itself, no, because what we do is we've written it, we're delivering it, but it's actually this session with you that allows us to do the final polish, and once we take all the feedback and questions people ask, we rewrite it again, and then we release it in about a week.
Okay, excellent.
And if you're a member, or you know, there's no cost, but if you've signed up on our site, you'll get a copy sent to your email. Just make sure your filters are off. And also, there'll be the audio. You'll be able to listen to this again, too, if you'd like.
Excellent.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to go back onto lecture mode. I'll take questions one more time before. And I'm going to continue through the balance of this report. And we're up to number 6 right now. And it talks about one of our key areas, and that is testing your ads. Now, here's something. We all know to test our ads. But what we do is we do almost an A-B split test style with Google. We set up split testing to optimize the pay-per-click ads. We optimize, first of all, by alternating the ads themselves in a click-through rate, seeing which ones give us the highest click-through. And then we optimize by doing an A-B split test on the landing page. If you do this properly, you can actually see how that impacts conversion on both ends, either the landing page or the ad itself. And you can now choose to allow Google to automatically manage your campaigns based on the click-through rate of your ad creatives. And Google will serve the highest click-through rate ad more often. So if you create multiple versions, Google will do that for you. Now, obviously, they have an ulterior motive because those ads which give the highest click-throughs give Google the most revenue. So they want to be careful about serving you in that way. And it's good for you, too. If your conversion is right on the page itself, then click-through, the more click-through, the better you are. So if you wonder how to get these ads optimized, we've actually written on this subject, and it's number 2 in your notes. It's link number 2, and it's how we test pay-per-click ads. Click on that link, it'll take you straight to the report, and you can read our research on that topic. Number 7, test your landing pages. We talked about split testing them. Obviously, that's the subject of this report. That could be a whole separate set of reports. And in fact, our last web conference was on A-B split testing. And if you've signed up on our site, you'll be getting a copy of all of that on how we A-B split test landing pages along with all the data. And if you were on the last web conference, you saw that. And if not, you can listen to the report. But in addition to that, we did another report just on how to optimize the landing page itself. And that's link number 3 in your notes. And you can read that report. And it'll tell you how we work on landing pages to try and improve them.
Clint, just to interrupt for a second. Link number 4 is actually the A-B split testing report is up on the site. It hasn't been pushed out via email yet, but a little sneak preview.
Oh, okay. For those of you, we had over 500 and some people registered for the last conference that we did 2 weeks ago. And we have not given the notes out to our list yet, but it's now on the site. So the briefing is on the website. And if you'd like to go, that's link number 4. Link number 4 tells you how to test. Link number 3 tells you how to optimize your landing pages. Okay? Number 8 is refine and optimize your campaign. After 30 to 60 days, you should be able to evaluate the initial success of your pay-per-click campaign. Let me warn you about this. Too many people get a reasonably good success with pay-per-click, and then they leave it on autopilot for too long without paying close attention. I'm also, and there's a lot of groups out there, some of which I know, and I know they're good people and they do a good job, and so I don't want to talk negative of those groups, but be careful about automated systems. They can save you time. I'm talking about bid management and things. They can save you time. Some of them are very good, and some of the people involved are very knowledgeable, but here we put a lot of people manually to go through and look and think about a campaign in ways that still we can't do with automated systems. And so I'm not against it. I'm just saying don't allow it to substitute quality thinking and certain manual attention that a campaign really needs. Have you been able to tap the full potential? These are the kinds of questions you're going to ask of this engine, or is there more potential for improvement? Remember something. You lose money on a pay-per-click campaign not just because you pay too much, but because you pay too little. What I mean by that is, If you can optimize your clicks properly, remember our example in the beginning, we drove 1.7 million profitable visitors to our site. The mistake would have been to have driven 500,000 and been happy about it because it all ROI'd. There's two ways to lose money on pay-per-click. And the other way would have been, you know, the obvious way would have been to spend 500,000 people and lost money on them. But the less obvious way would have been to send 500,000 people and made money on them and been happy with that when we could have drove 1.7 million and still made money. Some of you look at that $61,000 we spent in that third month and you think to yourself, I'm talking about that first data set we looked at the third or fourth table, and you say, wow, you spent $61,000 on pay-per-click on 1 month. That's, you know, I don't have that kind of budget. No, everybody has that kind of budget because we got all that money back. Same very month we spent it. And a smart pay-per-click campaign will pay for itself. I mean, we ROI'd that in each month. Moving on. If the desired keyword is too expensive, this is still under point eight, try to break that keyword down and go after phrases that are more specific. Identify words and phrases that may not receive as much traffic but can be purchased for less money. Consider creating customized landing pages for specific keyword bids. And remember that certain types of pages will convert better for some terms than for others. Number nine, expand your campaign. Most companies set up a pay-per-click campaign for terms they know their customers are looking for. But take a step back for a moment. Ask yourself what led your customers to search for those terms. This will often help you to find targeted phrases that your competition hasn't thought of. Let me go a step further. If I was you, and I was trying to optimize my pay-per-click campaigns, and you couldn't work as a research partner with a group like us, or you didn't have whatever, what I would do is I would bring in a group of people, give them a computer. You may not have a lab like we've got here, but set them in front of a computer and ask them to find certain things and watch how they search, where they look, which engines they go through. Get a representative of your customers and ask them to look for certain products that you know are on your site, but give them no help. And look at the psychology of the search. Trace the path of the search. Make a big difference for you. There are also some online tools that will help you brainstorm keyword phrases. Overture, Google, and Teoma, and they'll help you identify more relevant keywords with their suggestion tools. We have three of those links on here. Overture's Google, it's link number 5, 6, and 7 in your notes. And do not be afraid to go after highly specialized terms. The most specialized terms, while they may only see minimal traffic, have the capability or the potential of converting impressions to clicks and eventually sells much, much easier. Here's a key point. Think broad instead of, or in addition to, thinking deep. Rather than focusing on getting the number one position for a few keywords, purchase as many relevant keywords as possible. 200 terms at 10% at 10 cents per click will usually perform much better than 15 terms at 50 cents a click. One of the first questions I ask someone who's asking us to help them research something on their pay-per-click campaigns will be how many search terms do you currently have in the engines? I'll get a response like 200 or 500 or 1,000. And I don't always tell them this, but I'm thinking 5,000, 15,000, 20,000, sometimes 100,000. That many keywords. I mean, if you look at it, and you say, well, that's very difficult to manage. Go back to the earlier example. By far, the vast majority of the traffic we bought profitably came from pay-per-click. Can't afford not to think that way. Brings me back to 10. Analyze profitability on a keyword level. Now, this is very critical. Certain keywords will create a greater ROI than others. To optimize your pay-per-click campaign ROI to the highest level, analyze the return. Now, for specific keywords, and Jeremy talked about this, and he may want to add more later when if necessary. But some words you may choose to eliminate while others deserve higher bids. The only way to really analyze a campaign is to do it all the way down to the keyword level. And then you can really, and by the way, if you're a big retailer with, you know, 1,000 or 50,000 products, and you're driving traffic from thousands of those into your site, through search, you really need to analyze by keyword. Tell you what it'll do. It won't just tell you what's wrong with your pay-per-click campaign. It'll tell you what's wrong with your store. I'll give you an example. We were doing a research project with someone, and we noticed the product category candles was producing just no revenue for them on their pay-per-click side. Lots of clicks, no sales. Well, that told us one of two things. Either something was wrong with the ad, or something was wrong with the site. We went to the site and realized when they clicked through on candles, they had a pathetic selection of candles that had very little market appeal. We quickly did a competitive study by looking at four other competitors in the same pay-per-click engines, which is what you should be doing, and we looked at what people were getting when they clicked on candles on their sites and saw the selection they were getting. We realized precisely that this retailer had a problem with his business, not with his pay-per-click campaign in that category. By doing that, here's what we did. We said to him, either you need to beat this section up or totally eliminate it. First, we froze the pay-per-click, and then he went back and said, do I really want this product line or not? Once he made that determination, and it should be based on, can I really offer something in this product line in this space that no one else is offering or that serves a group of my customers who are buying other things from me and who would like to have it? Based on that, he made the decision to go forward and expand that line. In other cases, we've recommended that they drop the line. Some of you have heard about the 80-20 rule. People talk about it, you know, casually, but the 80-20 rule is actually a mathematical formula that's based on a whole bunch of statistical research, and it's true that, you know, not really 80-20, sometimes it's 90-10, but it's based on this. There's a disproportionate ratio between efforts and results. And in most cases, you'll see statistical groupings that range from 80-20 or to 90-10. In retail, it might mean this. 80% of your revenue is coming from 20% of your products. Or, you know, 90% of your revenue is coming from 10%. You need to know what those 10% are, and you need to know why you're not getting it from those other products. You need to ask yourself if they're worth it. And, I mean, that's a whole different set of things, but it impacts pay-per-click as well. Moving on. Some words you may choose to eliminate, while others deserve higher bids, but keep in mind that ROI is not the most important metric for your overall business success. Your true success indicator should be total profit. Be careful about thinking that conversion is everything, because it's tempting for people, particularly people like me, to think it is. But which would you rather have? A conversion rate of 1% on 500 visitors to your site, or say a conversion rate of 2% on 500 visitors to your site, or a conversion rate of 1% on 5,000 visitors to your site. As you increase traffic, typically conversion goes down. The real number is how much money do I have left over at the end of this spend? And profit is the indicator. So then, our report on avoiding unprofitable pay-per-click campaigns will help you clarify the differing importance of ROI versus profit. We actually spell it out and how to see the differences and calculate. Number 11, replicate, and we talked about that link already. That's link number one in your notes. Replicate your successful efforts. Expand your campaigns to other pay-per-click search engines. There's a link in your notes, number 8, that lists 659 pay-per-click search engines, including a list of the top 10 that will produce the greatest results for your efforts. Also, we've done a report just on small pay-per-click engines, and that's number 9. And the number 10 link, the 5 pay search engines tested, is so old I would hold on that, but number 9 is relevant, and number 11 in your notes is relevant. And then just number 12, continually revisit steps 6 and 7 that I've talked about previously here. And since you're working right now, that's the testing of your ads and the testing of your landing pages. Your ad copy and landing page optimization efforts should be an ongoing process as the market evolves. This simple protocol overall, these steps have proven themselves over time and hundreds of millions of profitable clicks, and we've used them over and over again. Using it should help you launch your own profitable pay-per-click campaign and achieve a high level of profitable traffic in a short period of time. Just beware, because there's no formulaic approach that you can count on as a just connect the dots and stop thinking formula. You need to pay attention and apply these things in your own scenario. And as we continue to test, we'll share more results. Now, we've done a lot more on pay-per-click than this. We've blueprinted. If you go on the site, we've built a whole blueprint for how to lay out your campaign step by step by step. There's special reports just on Google and just on Overture. And you can look at those, and perhaps they'll help you. Also, we're in the midst of another redesign of our site because, candidly, we need to take our own medicine. The amount of content keeps outgrowing the architecture and the design. So, over the next couple of months and 3 months, you'll see new versions to help you with navigation and so on, and make it easier and easier for you. In the meantime, let's take it off lecture mode, and I'll take a few more questions just before we call.
Hi, this is Jerry.
Yes.
Are you, in all these seminars that you're giving, you talk about, of course, measuring performance. Do you ever do any work looking at the tools that are available either through the search engines or externally from other suppliers about how to truly measure whether people are getting to your money page?
Yes, we have two reports on the site right now, Metrics Part 1 and Part 2, and the two of them are probably 40 pages long. In them we tell you what you should measure, what you don't need to measure, and at that time there's rankings of vendors that we've worked with as well, telling you what we think are some of the better vendors in the marketplace. So Metrics 1 and 2, and if you'll email editor at all, I'll have him send you a link to those reports if that would help you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Sir. Any other questions? We need some people to mute their phone, those of you that right now are having some background noise. But is there any questions before I close out this session?
Yes.
Go ahead.
On a lot of my campaigns, I've been using just the Google tool to track down to the keyword level.
Just give me one second, okay, Barry? I'll take your question second. And who is it that's speaking now?
This is Paul again.
Okay, and Paul, where are you at? What city?
St. Louis.
St. Louis. Okay, go ahead, Paul.
I don't know your kind of, Jack Lee, Ryan Whaley, forget who the accountant is.
Paul, I'm having some difficulty hearing you, friend. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's background noise or more people trying to ask questions at the same time. Try one more. It's also your phone is real difficult. It sounds like you're far away or having some headset problems. Try one more time if you could.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Okay. I've been using the Google tool to track down to the keyword level. And
yes.
I just have a question about how accurate that tool is.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, hello.
I think we've lost Dr. McLaughlin, actually.
Yeah.
He should be logging back on shortly. What was the question again?
It was how accurate it was.
You want to take it, Jeremy?
The Google tracking tool to track down to the keyword level, and I'm starting to wonder how accurate that tracking actually is.
Okay, Brian, I lost you guys for a moment. Have we answered the questions?
No, I was answering it right now, actually.
Go ahead, Jeremy. Okay.
We tested it earlier. At one point, we've not had a really good test on it in recent months. But back when we tested it, we had some questions about what it was determining was an actual conversion or not, because the stats were different from what we were seeing in other stats. My biggest problem with the Google conversion tool was that it just told you raw conversion. You know, you got 4 or 5 sales. It wasn't telling you 4 or 5 sales for how much, so you couldn't tell how much of that $355 you just spent on that keyword was actually gotten back. You know, for all you know, it was 5 sales for $6.
Right.
Excellent.
Okay.
I know because of the so many people on the phone, some of you have questions that we're going to run out of time for. I'm getting ready. So you can email us if you'd like to get help, email editor, and we'll do our best. Give us a day to respond because we have so many to come in, but we want to help you any way we can. Is there one more question I can answer before I dismiss us?
So you're saying that the paperclip campaigns have limited lifespan?
Have limited what?
Have a limited effective lifespan.
Absolutely. They must constantly be monitored because they change constantly. There's new competitors in the space changing their bids. Yes.
Have you found an optimum length of time yet?
Well, you just simply have to monitor them continually and upgrade them continually, or they'll just gradually decay in effectiveness and ROI.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Barry, did you get your question answered?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay, good. Hi.
Dr. McLaughlin, I just want to thank you for another awesome lab. You guys always over-deliver.
Well, I appreciate that. That's very gracious of you. Any feedback from you about these sessions, we really value. And someone took time at the end of the last session to write me a pretty detailed report on what they were getting out of the sessions, and I found it really helpful. So I appreciate your kind words also, and we welcome any emails. And the only thing we ask you to do is forward this information to anyone that you think it might help, and we'll keep trying to move things forward on the internet, and we're grateful. Thank you. All right, well, I'm going to end this session, and we'll be gearing up for the next one. The last session's report will be mailed out, but it's already on the website, and this session will probably go out to you in about a week with the full briefing and the literature review. Thank you all, and we'll talk to you again soon.